Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Friday Q&A, so I've pooled questions from all across my social media platforms, some from Snapchat, some from my Instagram, some from Facebook. So if you're not following me on those platforms, BrianK019 is my Snapchat and Brian Keane Fitness is my Facebook and Instagram. So I normally pull most of these from Snapchat, so definitely follow me on there if you want any questions going forward for any more Friday Q&As. So we'll jump straight into it. First question came in from Snapchat. It was a screenshot, so I don't have the name. It says, I can't grow my biceps, but I train them every day. How can I make them bigger? Okay, so one of the mistakes I normally see, there's a couple of things here that I'm going to touch on in terms of training biceps and improving the size or shape of your biceps, whether you're a guy or a girl. It's irrespective, it's going to be, if you're in a calorie surplus and you're using the right supplements and you're using the right training parameters, you're going to build muscle. And the same way if you're trying to tone it up, if you're just, you don't want too much size on your arms. So what I normally see the biggest mistake is people overtraining their biceps. Because your biceps are such a small muscle and you've only got two muscles in your biceps, it's very, very easy to overtrain that muscle. When you remember that most of your back movements as well are going to have biceps kicking in as a secondary, and in some cases, it kicks in as a primary with people when they haven't got their back form and they're not working for tension or working for contraction. Sometimes your biceps can kick in on those movements. So it's very, very, very easy to overtrain them. So what I would say, the way I would approach biceps is make sure you're hitting them with quality over quantity. Even if you're just doing them once or twice a week, that you're hitting them with good, solid compound movements, some isolations, that you're hitting the inside head and the outside head, and then you're working for parameters 8 to 10 in the hypertrophy of parameters with 3 to 4 sets and 60 to 90 second rests. Again, it's going to vary because you may find, and when I offer you the second tip on this, you may find that it's completely different training parameters that work for you. So what I would advise you do is start not training them every single day. That will work for some people, and I find that the people that hit biceps at the end of every workout every day are normally people that have good bicep genetics anyway, and your body just tends to respond. And that is a training method. I've used it in the past with my chest, where I've done 3 or 4 sets on chest at the end of every workout just to try and stimulate some blood flow in there and improve my mind-muscle connection. It didn't actually have any effect on growth, and it didn't speed up my progress when I was trying to build up my chest. But what I did find it helped was it helped my mind-muscle connection, so that I was able to feel chest on every single movement when I actually moved into normal chest days. So you may find now that having done biceps every single day that you have a better connection and you can feel them. So that will help you a lot in terms of progressing them up. One other thing that I find very, very common with people training biceps is people going way too heavy and swinging through their hips and swinging through their front delts and swinging through every other part of their body that's not hitting their biceps. Now that will work for some people. You have people that are just very, very genetically gifted through their arms and can do anything. They can do lightweight, heavyweight, swings, strict form, and their biceps will respond. If you're somebody that's struggling to bring up your biceps, you want to make sure that you're keeping that muscle under constant tension during the entire part of the repetition. So what happens with people is they come up too far at the top, they get a rest at the top of every curl, they come down too low on the bottom of every curl, so they have another rest at the bottom, or else they just start swinging it, which brings in your hips and shoulders and all different parts of body. So what I would advise you doing is drop the weight back, tuck your elbows into your body, depending on the angle that you're trying to hit, if you're doing, say, a barbell curl, and then make sure that your bicep is using and moving the weight so that you're tearing all the fibers through that muscle and that you're not bringing in any other secondary muscles, or you're not swinging through the hips. A little bit of momentum at the end of a set is perfectly fine. They're called momentum reps, where you're mildly swinging. But when you're doing that from rep one, that's just bad form. And if you're someone that's struggling to bring up biceps, it's very important that you do it with proper form and that you tear the fibers through the bicep so that you're not working any other muscle group. And then the last tip I'll offer there, and this goes for anybody looking to bring up any body part, is trial different training styles, parameters, angles, movements, and then double down on the ones that work. You may find that barbell curl just makes your biceps burn like crazy. Then I would say Double down on that movement. Make sure that you're building your training program around that specific movement, and then play with the parameters, play with the rep ranges, go 8 to 10, go 15 to 20, go 6 to 8, see what hurts more. Obviously, your maximum hypertrophy is going to be in that 8 to 10 rep range, but you may be someone that responds to a heavier weight, or you may be someone that responds to a lighter weight for more volume. So have a play around and then double down on what works. One of the biggest tips that I give people that come through my online program, and this is particularly with abs, is people that are trying to bring up their stomach or get a six pack or flatten out their stomach, I say find the move or two moves or three moves that you find works incredibly well for your abs, that burns like crazy and you can feel and connect with, and then double down on those movements and then play around with different parameters, different rep ranges, different rest periods, and then use that movement as your go-to, and then start experimenting out with different movements, but always have your main ones to come back to. I know myself that barbell curl will explode my arms. It's just a movement I've always connected with, and it works incredibly well for me. There's other moves that I'll do, like hammer curls and ape curls, that I feel, but nothing makes my biceps feel like they're going to explode to the skin like a barbell curl. But that may not be the movement for you. So experiment around with different movements and find which one you connect with best, and then double down on that. Okay, next question. Another one from Snapchat. I've started training for tension, but the weights I'm lifting are lighter. Will this still help me build lean muscle? Assuming, I can answer this one short and long, and I'm going to do both. Assuming that you're eating enough calories, enough amino acids, yes, you'll be able to build lean muscle even though you've dropped the weight working for tension. And the longer answer, I'm going to explain and expand on that. Basically, what happens when you're working for tension and working within the range of motion that's tearing the most fibers, it basically means that you're working for body composition, you're working to elevate metabolism, or you're working to tear more fibers to build more muscle. What really comes into play here is your nutrition and making sure that you're eating enough calories, eating enough food, and eating enough amino acids from protein to support that growth. One of the things I'll use myself because you're your own best example. One of the ways I built my entire frame, now I'm nearly 17 years training, and I started lifting weights at 13, and I started seriously training. I joined a gym at 16, and I've been seriously training since 19. And one of the things that built my entire frame was down to working for tension on the muscle and then using my nutrition to support that growth. A couple of reasons this work. One, when you're working for tension, you're tearing more fibers in the muscle you're trying to work. So you're largely going to get better body composition. So if you're working, say, a bench press and you've dropped the weight back slightly to focus on working your pectoral muscles, you're going to build your chest better by working within the right parameters and tearing those fibers than, for example, say your secondary muscles like your front delts or your triceps kick in, where you're not going to get full body composition change through the chest because you've got your secondaries kicking in for a lot of the movement. So what I have found has worked very, very well for me, for people looking for symmetry, looking for aesthetics where you've got nicely defined chest, good shoulders, good arms, and it's not just that blocky frame, then working for tension and working for body composition tends to speed that up. That being said, there are people who just have incredible genetics and can do anything, can move any weight, and I know loads of people who train with what would be seen as bad form and have incredible physiques. So you can lift heavy and you can lift with poor form and still get the results as well, particularly assuming if your nutrition's on point. It's just, in my opinion, not optimal. One, unless you're very, very genetically gifted and you can do any sort of training style, it may not work for you at the speed at which it does for that person that responds faster. And two, it increases your risk of injury. I've been, one of the reasons, and I'll use myself as an example, one of the reasons that I've been able to build the frame that I have and build the amount of muscle that I have is down to never being injured in the gym, because I don't miss training sessions because I've been out with an injury because of the gym. Like, the only serious injuries I ever got was when I was playing football, and they were contact injuries, you know, knee dislocations, breaks, things like that. Everything else was down to either muscle strains that came from not doing the right training program, but it came as a direct impact on the pitch, because I never got actually injured in the gym apart from one period in my life when I did a 5x5 strength phase and I hurt my back, and that was once out of, you know, 16 years of training at that stage. So when you don't get injured and you're not trying to constantly work around an injury in the gym, you speed up progress because you're being more consistent with it. So working for tension allows you to really focus on the muscle you're trying to work. It means you might drop the weight slightly, but it also means that your body's ability to tear down those fibers and then grow back stronger when your nutrition and calories are on point means that you're going to reduce your risk of injury and build more lean muscle. The key thing being that you're eating enough calories and you're eating enough amino acids and you're timing your macros and you're timing your meals and you're doing all the things that are in that line up with your goals, and that you're using a nutritional plan and a supplement plan that is in alignment with building lean muscle. Because if you're under eating and you're not eating enough calories or not eating enough amino acids, it doesn't matter what training program you're following, your body's probably not going to build any muscle mass or any lean muscle. So as long as you're working for those training parameters, working for that tension style, even though you've dropped the weight, you're still working for failure within the given rep range. Like one of the examples that I normally give on my Snapchat, and people will normally comment that they'll say that I'm using lightweight when light is subjective anyways, but I don't use lightweight. I use the weights that I can lift with perfect form within the parameters that I'm trying to work within, that I'm failing at the given 8 to 10 rep range or whatever rep range I'm working for. So for example, I'll do 20 reps on side lateral raises. I can only do 2 or 3 kilos with that weight. I can't execute it with perfect form with anything heavier. You may be able to do 5s or 7.5s, but there's a good chance if you're using 20 or 25 kilos on a side lateral raise that you're probably swinging the weight and not working your side delt for optimal form, which means that you increase your risk of injury. You won't probably get the best body composition from it. And again, apart from your ego being worked, you're probably not going to get the best results, in my opinion. Again, people do. And there are genetic people that have superior genetic muscular ability to build muscle, and they'll respond. But for the 99% of people, I don't put myself in that bracket. So for the 99% people who aren't in that bracket, I normally recommend dropping the weight, working for tension, and then using your nutrition, your calories, if body composition is your goal. Again, this is all goal dependent, but that's a body composition and shape and building lean muscle is your goal. That's what I recommend that you try and do. Okay, next question. What's the difference in having a protein bar versus a protein shake after training? They're very, very night and day. Personally, I'm not a fan of protein bars full stop. I think they're really, really poor. I personally think they're glorified chocolate bars. Not to say that they're not incredible. Protein bars are fucking amazing, but they are pretty much glorified chocolate bars. They're just chocolate bars with 20 grams of protein. Doesn't matter which brand. Again, there's Fulfill, Quest. They're all really good and really tasty bars. But they're effectively just chocolate bars with either polyalcohols replacing the sugars, or some of them have still the sugars left in them, and then 20 grams of protein added. So in terms of actually including it into your nutritional plan, I would never factor protein bars in as a healthy food substitute. By all means, use them in your plan, but be aware that they're not going to be the best thing that you include in that nutritional plan. I have people come through my top 50 program and they'll use protein bars all the way through phase one, through phase two. Some have one every day and it keeps them on track and they love them and they get incredible results from it. But as long as you're not fooling yourself, I love the Epicurus quote, don't fool yourself and you're the easiest person to fool. That's kind of my issue with protein bars, that people fool themselves into thinking they're eating something healthy, quote unquote healthy, when in fact they're eating something that's full of polyalcohols, which is going to upset insulin mimicking in the brain, which may lead to bigger cravings later on in the day. And you think that you're eating something healthy and you wonder why your body's not changing or you've got really bad cravings in the evening. That can be down to your protein bars. I have nothing against them as such. I don't use them anymore. I used to eat one every single day. And I've talked about this in podcasts before, that when I gave them up, I fucking felt like the character from Trainspotting that was giving up heroin, because I was like, I need a protein bar for about a week. And I don't ever remember having that fucking craving for broccoli or spinach. So it's a case that the fact that you're craving it when you drop it also means that, well, this may be worth looking into as well. And again, obviously the polyalcohols are going to have an effect on the body. Anything that mimics insulin in the brain like that is going to be mildly addictive. So you'll have all these issues that come with certain protein bars. But again, there's nothing wrong with them as such, as long as you factor them into your plan, knowing that they're not the most optimal food that you can consume post-workout or any other time of the day. So to have them after training, again, isn't going to be the best thing you can have. You're probably going to be better having a good quality protein shake, in terms of there's nothing added to most of the protein shakes. Some of them are better than others, but there's some incredible brands out there of whey protein. I currently use the Sun Warrior rice protein, but ones that work well with your body. If you've got a lactose enzyme or a lactose issue, make sure you get one that has a lactase enzyme through it. Even some of the whey protein hydrolyzed isolates are going to be hydrolyzed down, so people that lactose issues shouldn't have a problem digesting them. And again, some some argument on the processing of certain ingredients added to them, but I still think they're a much better bang for your buck than actual protein bars, because at least they're flooding your body with amino acids directly after training, which can speed up your recovery. Again, it's overall nutrition, your training program in general, in alignment with your goals is going to be key, but things like protein shakes directly after training can speed up recovery, so it can recover, it can repair the muscle fibers that you've torn in the workout, assuming that's what your program is based on, which means that you will build more lean muscle, which will elevate your metabolism, which will help you build more body fat, or if you're in a calorie surplus, it can help you build more muscle, and it can also speed up recovery so that you're back in the gym or back training a day or two later and you've repaired faster. So that's kind of the benefits of having a whey protein shake. You don't really get that with a protein bar. It's kind of what I would use protein bars is if you're doing some form of flexible dieting or IFYM. I have people come through my top 50 program that cannot cut them and love them, so we factor them in. And as long as you're able to handle any cravings that may come out the other side from the polyalcohols, and you factored it into your overall nutrition, they're fine. But don't use them for an optimal thing to have post-workout, because a whey protein or a normal protein powder shake is going to be much better in terms of overall repair, building muscle, increasing metabolism, much more so than a protein bar. Okay, next question from Sean Roberts. This one I think is on Instagram. Will Lucozade Sport or sports drink after training affect fat loss? There's not one thing that you do that's going to have a massive effect on fat loss. It's the combination of everything that you're doing throughout the day. That being said, there are marginal gains that you can do, which basically means you add up everything, and when you add them all together, you can maximize fat loss. So the number one thing that's most important is getting your overall nutrition on point. If you're eating too many calories, again, your body's not as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. There are hormonal and physiological things that come into play here, but to break it down to its simplest form, if you're eating too many calories, you're not gonna lose body fat. So the number one thing is getting your nutrition in alignment with losing body fat so that you're in a calorie deficit, or that you're getting a deficit from your training. As I said, it's not as simple as that, but at its most basic form, that's a good rule of thumb to follow to start with. So getting your nutrition is on point is number one overall. Then your training program and cardio, making sure that's geared towards losing body fat so that you're working for tension style workouts, or you're doing supersets or giant sets, or you're doing something that's elevating heart rate to 70% or above, so you're in your fat burning zone, and that you're including cardio if you need it, that you're doing either high intensity interval training or you're doing low intensity steady state cardio. Assuming you're in a massive calorie deficit, that can help your body to utilize fat as a fuel source if you're working within that 70% of your max heart rate level. And then your HIIT, as I said, your sprint training, where you're doing, you know, 30 second sprint, 30 second recovery, and you're factoring all that into your training, that's going to be the most important thing. After that, then having Lucozade Sport or a sports drink afterwards, I'm going to give a personal opinion on this, and then I'll give a little bit of the science behind it. Having a sugary drink, particularly a high GI, a glucose form of, which is basically what's in Lucozade Sport, having that post-workout has been shown to boost insulin response, IGF-1 in the body, speeds up repair, and can help your body build more muscle, which indirectly, if you have more lean muscle, can elevate your metabolism and could help you lose more body fat. That being said, in practice, I used to always have glucose after I trained. And what I found for me happened was my energy levels would drop down, or my energy levels would spike after having the glucose post-workout, and then it would drop down, and then I'd have to be eating 2-3 meals later on in the day. I felt that I was trying to balance out my blood sugars for the entire day, and it didn't matter what foods I ate, whether it was high carb, high fat, low fat, I felt my blood sugars were out of balance all day. So that normally led to me eating some form of chocolate or whatever it was later on in the day, because I just needed something sugary. So it had an actual detrimental effect in my fat loss when I applied it, because I felt I was trying to catch up all day in terms of balancing out my blood sugar levels again. That being said, I have people that come through my GA Lean Body program that will use glucosey foods, and it's very important, particularly for higher end athletes when performance is key, that you're re-topping up glycogen stores and you're having some form of, I still personally err away from using glucose to top up glycogen stores, but some people use it and it works very, very well for them. But when fat loss is your primary goal, I tend to err away from using sugary drinks and spiking blood sugars at any stage in the day. Normally, the more balanced your blood sugars are when fat loss is your goal, the less like you are to reach for sugary foods or chocolates or biscuits or whatever it is that you're craving. And it makes it much easier to keep energy levels stable so that you can stay on track with your nutrition, which can speed up fat loss goals. And that being said, some people will be able to factor in Lucozade Sport. And if you factored it into your macros, you factored it into your overall calories, your training program is on point, your nutrition's on point, it's not going to make a massive difference, but it is going to be a marginal gain. And it is going to be something that gives you a little bit of an edge. And when you add up all the things, your nutrition, your training, your pre-workout meal, your post-workout meal, your sleep, your water consumption, your supplements you're using, when you add all of these up, that's when you really speed up results. So that's why, as a marginal gain, I tend to err on the side of caution and avoid it. But again, it's very case by case, but that's my opinion on it. Okay, last question. Brian, what's the best thing to eat before a workout? From Lisa Sheehan. Again, this one's very, very goal dependent. There is no perfect pre-workout meal or post-workout meal. If there was, then everybody would just eat those meals pre and post-workout and everyone would be in shape. It's very much, as I said to the last question, it ties in quite well, is it's your overall context of the nutritional that you're plan that you're following, the training program that you're following, and then working around your metabolism and digestion and playing around with different meals to see what works best for you. I'll use my program, my top 50 program, because it's good context for this, because I work with everybody within the group and we tailor and tweak the nutritional plan based on each person's metabolism, based on each person's digestion, and finding what works best for them. So what I would advise, and this is what I would advise you, if you, for example, you were in my program, is normally, depending on how well your metabolism metabolizes carbohydrates or fats, I would experiment with a high fat and a high carb or high protein meal before training, and then the next day, or I would experiment with a complex carb and a medium to high protein meal right before training, or an hour and a half before training, or 2 hours before training, or whatever your digestion rate is like, and then see which one you feel better on. For example, I know myself, if I go high fat and high protein before training, I always get a better training session. I get a better pump, I feel better, my mind is clear in the gym, and it works better for me. So it really depends on the kind of training session you're doing as well. If you're doing a long endurance style training session, you may be better to have a complex carbohydrate in there regardless of how you metabolize it, so that you're keeping glycogen levels full. But apart from that, depending on whether fat loss or muscle building is your goal, and assuming it's not performance based, I would advise experimenting with a high fat, high protein meal, or a high carbohydrate and high protein meal, like a sweet potato and chicken, or coconut oil and salmon, or whatever it is that you're having pre-workout, and see what works best for your actual performance in the gym. Your overall body composition and the muscle you're building, and if your body's trying to lose body fat or whatever it is your specific goals are, it's going to be the overall context of your nutrition. One meal is not going to completely make or break you, but again, it's going to be a marginal gain. And then whatever works for you, double down on that. I've had people come through my online program that have carbs in every single meal and have lost body fat or built muscle. I've had people that have dropped their carbs to zero and have built muscle and lose body fat. Some people just don't metabolize carbohydrates that well. Some people work way better off fats. And then the flip, some people can't live without carbohydrates because they metabolize them and burn them up very efficiently. So it's finding what works best for you and then building that in. The majority of people will find that a mixture works, that you've got carbohydrates at your insulin sensitive times, having them in the morning and post workout, and then playing around with carbohydrates in other meals during the day. But I would advise that you experiment with it and find what works best for you, and then make sure your overall nutrition and your overall training is in alignment with your goals, and then play around with your pre-workout meal to suit that. So massive thank you for everybody for listening. Hope you guys got loads of value from this episode. For more information on me, you can head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can sign up to my newsletter on there. Or you can follow my Snapchat, which is BrianK019. That's definitely my most active platform at the minute. It's the one where I can interact with people directly back and forth. I'm loving it. And also my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is all Brian Keen Fitness. Massive thank you to Colm over at Voxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you soon. Hey everyone, as a thank you to everyone who subscribed to my podcast, I'm giving away two free programs every week for the month of April, one for each episode. My two flagship programs are the BKF online program, which is my male and female program that has everything you need to build muscle, lose body fat and tone up. Each version is based around your specific goals. And my GA Lean Body program, which has all the tools you need to get into incredible shape, whether that's to build muscle, tone up or lose body fat while simultaneously improving your performance so you're fitter, faster and stronger on the pitch. For a chance to win whichever program fits your goals best, just subscribe to my podcast and leave an honest review, and I'll be picking two winners every week. Winners will be announced on my Snapchat, BrianK019, so be sure to follow me on there to see if you've won. I'm picking the winners from random reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, so thanks again for downloading and subscribing, and best of luck to everyone. Okay.